And we are back to it for a second interview on In Depth. Meredith Tanzer's in the studio from our center among, I don't know how many other things you do.
I do a lot of things.
You're a woman about town. Hi, how are you?
Really good. Excited about 2019.
Beautiful. So am I, gotta say. There's some optimism, I think, in the air. And the homeless youth point in time count is coming up. Pretty soon.
It is coming up. It's coming up at the end of January. It's always on the fourth Thursday of every month here in Northern Nevada. So we are trying to get an accurate count of all young people under the age of 25 that are living in precarious situations around town. And why that's important is for us to really get a grasp on how many kids really are in need of services and agencies to support them, to be able to move them from opportunity youth, which are kids that are unstably housed and maybe without jobs, into our market. Because we already know that we have a saturated adult homeless population. Mm-hmm. And those of us that are youth advocates are not interested in pushing our kids into that system. We want to help them to develop some sustainable internal tools to be able to move on and be successful.
Lay down a foundation so they don't, become just another adult homeless statistics, so to speak.
Yeah, and I mean, young people are so much more adaptable that generally they only experience one bout of homelessness before the age of 24. So let's look at that situation, figure out how we can make it the best that it can be in that short period of time, and then take them out of being a statistic and a financial drain on our community.
The point in time count, which one is this now? Like, it's a yearly thing, right?
It's a yearly thing. So it's put on by HUD. Housing and Urban Development requires a count in January, the most ridiculous month around the country to do a count of homeless people. P.S. If they're ever looking for someone on their advisory council.
Throw a little shade in there, just a little bit.
Gosh, I just don't understand. Can you imagine counting people in Wyoming or something?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
If you're trying not to count people.
As far as frozen wasteland, or what
do
you mean?
Yes. Okay. So they just, you're not going to get as many people to come out, which I understand the government's excited about, because then we don't have the homeless problem that we do.
Right.
But if we really want to tackle a problem, I feel like we really need to have real information. Anyway, that's a little sidebar.
Soapbox.
So in Northern Nevada, we count for the full 24 hours as part of a youth count. The youth count is very special. Less than 10% of groups across the country hold a special youth count. The reason that we started doing that 5 years ago is we really understood the need to look at young people in their own environment and look at them and identify them as separate from the adult homeless population. So HUD requires a count in every county. So wherever you are around the country, you can participate in the count, and you can just look up homeless count and then whatever your county is. And they're always looking for volunteers. Generally, these counts aren't funded by any state. So even though we get in money from the state, they aren't funding these counts.
Oh, okay.
So we do our count for 24 hours at Eddie House. Eddie House is a centralized intake for youth under the age of 25. So a couple of years ago, we really were thinking about the best way to capture the maximum amount of young people. And Eddie House already has so many of those kids. So we moved the count there, and this will be our second year there.
Second year there, okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So last year, we counted 104 kids, which was our highest number ever. But what I don't want to get confused out there is that we need to remember that this is just a snapshot. This is just one particular day in the course of a year that we're collecting numbers on. Mm-hmm. So in working at Eddie House, just in 2018, we will have seen just under 1,000 unique kids over the course of a year. 1,000. So if we look at that compared to 2015 numbers, right? So just a couple of years ago, Eddie House only saw 100.
Are you kidding
me? At that point, no.
Over the course of a year?
Yeah.
100 to a few years later, and it's
just under 1,000. Yeah. So we see 40 to 50 kids there a day. And then Nevada Youth Empowerment Project, who is the one who basically initiated this whole idea of separating out and doing a youth count, I am lucky to be employed there as well. They're a housing program for girls 18 to 24, girls that are willing and capable. So we try, as all of these agencies and our center, I mean, the LGBT community has crazy statistics for homeless youth. It's 43% nationwide of all homeless youth identify on the LGBTQ plus spectrum.
Really?
Which is a hugely high number. We don't see that high of a number here, but kids identify differently in different parts of the country. But it's important to look at the fact that our youth count is supported by all of those agencies that are working with youth. We work with the Children's Cabinet. We work with Human Services has been fantastic. Renown is a great supporter. TMCC goes above and beyond because they have so many of those kids that are precariously housed, you know, and sometimes I think we don't consider and think about what falls under the terms of being homeless. And a couple of years ago, I was talking to somebody whose boyfriend was in a band, and we were talking about this count. And I said, well, you know, our people that are couch surfing are considered homeless underneath HUD's definition. So if you're a creative type, we all have had friends stay on our couches.
Definitely.
Or we know those people that are moving around, they might not consider themselves homeless, but a larger entity than them considers them to be homeless. So we want to make sure that we can get every young person without any sort of stigma to speak up and say, hey, I really don't feel safe about where I'm living. I'm only making decisions to stay in a location to be safe, but they might not be a decision I would make otherwise if I was permanently housed.
Exactly so.
So it's just important to look at the fact that we are creating a continuum and working together to really look at all levels of homelessness and where kids enter the system of homelessness, not necessarily a government system, but where they enter it and then how they exit it and how they have proper supports around them if they want them. Some kids don't want it.
Okay.
But for the ones that do, we want to be there for them.
Beautiful. And as far as the point time count goes, do you need volunteers?
Oh my gosh. Thank you. We need volunteers very badly.
Okay.
So if you're on Facebook, you can go to Facebook and we have a link for signup.com. You can go and look at all of the shifts. We begin set up on Wednesday evening. That starts about 8 p.m. and we go until Friday morning at 11. So it's about 36 hours total.
Okay.
So we need people all over the map. They're 4-hour schedules. If you just want to come and organize things, we have a situation for you. If you want to greet people outside and collect donations, we have that. You can come and volunteer with a group of friends, which is kind of nice because then you're hanging out, you're working together.
And it's like en masse. You have a whole get a group together. And
then, kind of a nice way to hang out. If you're really great at social media or you want to take video, we're looking for those kind of people. So you just go to sign up. You'll see the available shifts and then you just pick your shift. If you are not able to commit for the full 4 hours or the shift posted, I'd like to say thank you for trying to volunteer, but we just don't have the capacity to make special arrangements for everybody. Yeah. So we utilize about 102 volunteers in our local community, which is just incredible. Our faith-based communities actually go nutso and provide lots of volunteers for us, as well as TMCC. They have people. TMCC has counselors and staff on every shift around the clock.
Wow.
Which is pretty incredible from an organization.
Crazy good dedication.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And they really take it under their wing to help us. So volunteers we need. You can go ahead and sign up for that. There's also a couple of volunteer opportunities that happen ahead of time, like picking up stuff around town, making phone calls, going to drop off outreach wristbands and that kind of thing. So if you're interested, you could just send us an email and we can let you know what those opportunities are.
Cool.
There will be a big drop-off day on the 17th, which is the second Saturday. Yeah. Second Saturday, sorry.
It's okay.
And at our center. So that will happen after the Women's March and people can just go by. There's a list posted online. We really need men's belts, boxer briefs, sports bras, and $10 gift cards.
Okay.
And so we're not taking any clothing. So please, I beg of you, do not drop off clothing to any of those agencies that I mentioned, and really to any agency in town unless you've reached out to them. I just personally am begging you.
Yeah. get hyper specific with what you actually need.
Yeah. Well, intentional about look at what organizations are looking for. We need deodorant.
Yeah.
Like that's something, but we don't need hygiene items. I could right now, we could pass out enough hygiene items today and within the next hour that could probably shampoo everyone's head in Washoe County. We have so many. So, and a lot of agencies suffer from that. They get so much of one thing that they can't use it, but we want to just pass it around. So whatever we get in for the homeless youth count that doesn't get utilized, then it goes to replenish Eddie House inventory and Epps Inventory, the center, and then Women and Children's Center. So we pass it around and make sure we try to touch as many agencies with our gifts and beautiful things that we receive from the community. So rather than having one agency take the burden of storing all that stuff, which none of us can do.
Piles up. Okay, cool. Yeah. Then, so yeah, stress that. So men's belts, boxer briefs, deodorant.
Sports bras. Yep.
Keep those in your head.
Yeah, please. And you can drop any of those things off at Eddie House between 10:30 and 4:30 between now and the count. Ideally, you'll bring it the week of the count, which is the 20th through the 23rd.
Because you can hand stuff out as people come in?
Yeah, so the way that the count works is you come in, you get checked in, then you take a survey that's been pre-designed. HUD asks 9 questions. We ask about 27 additional questions just to get great information on who's coming through. And then they will receive a wristband. Their great cuts will be there cutting hair all day. And then additional service providers will be there. And then they'll have access to a clothing closet and to general needs and to meet with our resource manager and a crisis manager if they need to. But they can have access to all of that. We give out backpacks, a ton of sleeping bags, thanks to Goodwill. All sorts of things to kind of get them set up for that day. And ideally, what we're trying to do is then push them back and get them back at Eddie House or Children's Cabinet or wherever they need to go so they can really connect to services. So another way that people can help is by going to the Homeless Youth Count Facebook and sharing some of our promotional pieces about who we're trying to reach to count. If you have kids in a high school, we have a flyer on there you could print. Ask them to hang it at their high school, any service groups, your favorite coffee shop. That would be an incredible way for people to help us by helping us get the word out so that we count as many kids as we can.
Beautiful. Well, then that's the whole point of you being here. So hopefully this helps out. Thanks a lot, Meredith.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.